Om Shanti to everyone, and welcome. With that beautiful song by Lucinda, True Heart, that day has finally come when we see all the wonderful faces of the souls of Group 2 who have come to Madhuban, to your home, to celebrate the second meeting of this season with Bab Dada. So this is our first presentation of this group, and we are delighted to have Sister Sharona. Sister Sharona, I had the fortune of meeting maybe 40 years ago. I went to her center in Boston, and it was a great memory because it was the first time I saw Sister Mohini's face so happy. She was beaming to see Sister Sharona and her band of Kumaris. So many were there. I was particularly happy because there I met Brother Ed, and he was a professor, and I think it was the first time I saw a professor studying Raj Yoga. I thought, then this Raj Yoga must be something of value. And then, of course, Daddy Janki, she being such a great soul, Daddy Janki asked her to move to Israel. That must have been in the 2000, maybe 20, 25 years ago. To Israel, and Daddy Janki in her divine wisdom, and now she is serving there in Israel. So I hope she shares some of that, what is happening there with us also. And so with that, welcome to Sister Sharona, and happy Diwali to everyone.
Yeah.
In case while she's speaking you have any questions or any ideas come up, if you can write them down and hand them over to Sister Chitra. And then when I come on the stage a little later, I will raise those questions with her. So welcome to everyone here and to our online audience. Sister?
Om Shanti. And thank you, Vijay, for your lovely introduction, and definitely happy Diwali to everyone. Special request, if you can, to move towards the center. I know there's translations going on, but otherwise come forward, move towards the center, and that way we can defeat the largeness of this hall, which does not want us to enjoy the family belonging feeling. I personally prefer to move this chair straight to the edge, but because of the cameras, this is the position. So I'm still so far away from you, but it's fine. Interesting topic, true power in times of crises. In order to keep myself protected, and even be able to offer protection to others. Relevant subject, because there are so many crises going on in the world, right? So what would be that true power? Because time is showing us that most other forms of power that we've been working with are not really enabling us to keep moving forward. Another way of saying managing the crises, not being stopped by the crises. So a little bit of reflection before I share some of my thoughts. First reflection question: what do you feel is true power? What do you feel is true power? And secondly, what is the protection? What is the protection? We can even change these around if you want. You can start with, what protects me? What protects me? And then secondly, what is the power that will enable that protection? That might be better. Let's start that way. What, in times of crises especially, protects me? And then secondly, what is that true power which will enable that protection, make it happen? Okay? So I switched it around, makes it easier, more logical. Take a few minutes to reflect on that. When you have an idea or two, maybe turn to somebody, either behind you or next to you, and share your thoughts. What is the protection we have? What is the power that enables that protection? Take a few minutes to share as well. Can we have a mic that can move around in the audience? It's here. Great. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, can I hear a few of your thoughts? Starting with, what can protect me? And what is the power which enables that protection? Anybody like to share? So there, either you can speak really loud, and I'll see if I can hear, otherwise there's a mic up there. Would you like to stand up and share, sister? Just in short, what is that protection and that true power?
A stable mind.
Ah, here we've got the mic. Great.
Thank you. A strong, stable mind.
Nice.
Silence. Drishti, Baba's drishtis. Love, tolerance, benevolence, patience.
Wow, that's a whole list. Thank you. Anybody else? What is our protection? And that true power. Yeah.
Om Shanti. Basically, Baba Srimad will protect us.
Mm. Thank you. Baba's Srimad protects. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I was sharing with my sister here that there was a time a month ago I was seriously ill, and doctor said you need a surgery right away. So the crisis was there, you know, the challenge was there. But at that time, being with Baba for a long time, what I use is, like she said, silence. And no visitors, nothing in a hospital. No visitor. I said, no, please don't come, you know. That time allowed me to use the power that Baba has given. Number one, understanding, one strength, one support. Second, silence help. And third is remembering Baba, reflecting, listening to Murli and reflecting to Baba. That became healing power. And heal me where doctor thought without surgery is not possible. So without surgery, these things helped me and became such a true power.
That's quite a story.
And it happened a month ago. And
that's
here I am in Madhuban.
And here she is. My gosh. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Shanti, I feel the power of being detached, being a detached observer. It acts like a feeling proof where I'm not getting influenced. And how can I get, I think, becoming soul conscious where I'm not getting influenced by any other colors of country or any borders?
Thank you. Yeah, okay, so that kind of opened the window on the research. Crises are going to be coming more and more. So what is my protection? Do I get the power, the true power, to activate that protection? Thank you. Good sharing. I'm sure there are more answers. I'd like to share with you a small video just to see if that might give us some more ideas. Did we see it? Then we have to see it again. Yeah, it's too short. You need to see it 2 or 3 times. And once again, be very sure about what we're seeing. So what exactly did we see there? Let's be sure we all saw the same thing. What did we see? There's a mic. Yeah, what did you see? Yeah, anybody want to share? What did they see?
Om Shanti. The first car didn't even pay attention to the authority. He just drove right by. I think it was a truck, but I'm not 100% sure of that. And then following that truck, the people behind did notice and stop. That's what I got out of it.
Okay, so we saw a man, a policeman, stopping the traffic. Is that right? And then eventually the cars stopped. We saw that. Anything else you saw? Sorry?
The dancer crossing.
Ah. Can you say that again, sister?
The ducks are crossing the road. Ducks.
Ducks. There are ducks crossing the road. Did you see that? How many saw that? How many saw that? Okay, so we need to see it again. Yeah, let's see it again. Why did this man, this policeman, try to stop the cars? Let's look at that again, see if we can catch it. Once again, yeah. I'm not able to see it, so I don't know if you're seeing it clearly enough, but if the screen is clear, you can see it. Once again. How many see the ducks now? That's good. Okay, you need to see the ducks to be able to enjoy the message. Now, whoever caught this video was not thinking like we think when we see that video. If we look at a video in a hall like this, it's to be able to appreciate some spiritual significance in that scene. So, what's the message of this video? In terms of our two questions, think about it a minute. Do you have any new answers to our first two questions? What protects me? And what's the power that enables me to be protected? Reflecting on this video, any more or new insights? Anybody want to share? Thank you.
Om Shanti, in life there is like lots of crises come one by one. But then we have to the silence power stop. That's what I think.
Okay, so in that case, you're saying the policeman represents full stop. Full stop. Baba talks about the brake. You need a powerful brake. And so the cars represent the surprises in my life. Sister was saying, we have so many surprises in our life. But the full stop is our protection. Anyone else? More meaning or insights because of the video? Yes, we have somebody back there. Yeah?
Om Shanti. I saw respect, trust, and there was another one I forgot. But definitely respect, because they respected the authority to stop the others around. And there was a quiet time at that time, you know. It allowed for the ducks to go by.
Okay. There was respect for that authority. That allowed the ducks to go by. So we see in this video ducks. We see the policemen. We see the cars. Right? Three players in this video, correct? Yeah? So what do the cars symbolize? What does the policeman symbolize? What do the ducks symbolize in terms of our questions? Any thoughts? Can you stand, sister?
Shanti, it's having a view of bigger picture. The car was behind, don't know why they had to stop. So there might be questions like, why is this happening? And they're not aware of the situation. So having a bigger picture helps in understanding whether the patients, or they might even enjoy stopping because they know the cause why they're stopping.
Interesting. The cars behind the first row couldn't see what was going on. So our protection is no questions, but maybe faith, because they stopped on good faith, as well as respecting the authority. Yeah, a larger picture for those who did see the ducks were crossing. Good. Yes, one more.
So the cars can represent our mind. So we put a stop to our thoughts. The policeman represents our intellect, so it makes a decision of what to do. And the ducks can represent our sanskaras, that we just move along without thinking.
Very creative. The cars are our mind running all over the place. But the policeman is the intellect, which stops them. And the ducks are our sanskaras. Very nice. Very nice. Where are you in this video? The ducks? The car? Okay. So let me share a few thoughts. I'm going to start with this power, which is going to be able to, it's going to enable us to manage any crises. And there's actually one word for so many of the things you've already said, whether it's being a detached observer or going into silence or benevolence, so many different things, stability. There's one word for all of that, and that is our truest power, and that would be the truth. Our greatest power in times of these greatest crises is the truth. Have we recognized that all of this incredible knowledge that we are privileged to be receiving is so that we completely change the way we see what's going on, and ultimately we're able to change the way we relate to whatever's going on? This truth is for being used. And what is the greatest truth? The greatest truth. The greatest truth, I would like to suggest, in terms of what's helped me, living in a country like many other countries right now, is in a state of crisis. Greatest truth is all is good. Again, this is not something just to understand, although that's a good beginning, but it has to be applied. Everything is good. How many of you know this? How many of you understand this? Yeah? We have to prove it to ourselves. How many of you use it? Using it means I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to look for reasons. I'm not going to sulk. I'm not going to react. I'm going to go straight to the work at hand. What's the work at hand? So, it doesn't really matter what is the crisis. Like Sister was mentioning, it can be a health crisis. It can be a relationship crisis. It can be a financial crisis. Lost my job, or my company went bankrupt. Environmental crises, floods, hurricanes, all of these are going to be happening more and more. It can be a political crisis, war, such as the experience of several countries right now in the world. It doesn't matter the crisis. Why? Because when Baba tells us all is good, everything is good, he's saying the drama is good. Drama is good. I have to prove this to myself because it's a huge truth, a huge power. Because what makes even crises good is a very important law operating in the universe. The law of karma, which is telling me that the crisis is not out to make you suffer. It's not out to create sorrow. The law of karma tells me that whatever is in front of me is for my own benefit. There is benefit in every scene of the drama, because what drama is giving me a chance to do is see what aspect of my truth, my true being, that I haven't been paying enough attention to, needs a little bit more exercise. So maybe I'm very, I'm a very kind soul. Maybe I'm a very respectful soul. Maybe I'm a very patient soul. But I need a little bit more stability or faith. So Drama, which only wants to see me come back to my state of perfection, all powers, all qualities, that's my truth, Drama will make sure that those situations which are perfect for developing stability, developing inner strength, developing faith, those are exactly the situations which will come in front of me. So we know this, but to use these truths, that's our power. Because then, as I was saying, we focus on the real work, which is whatever's the crisis, what quality, what virtue is Drama inviting me to practice? And I start practicing it. I know in my case, once my first experience of bombs dropping in Israel, everybody runs to a shelter in our home, the center, Brahma Kumari Center in Israel. There is a shelter. And so I was very much observing how people were reacting to the alarms going off, being in a shelter, normal life interrupted, and bombs dropping. And I saw how some people reacted with jokes. They made jokes to kind of hide their fear and nervousness. Other people were crying, not trying to hide their fear or feeling of hopelessness. Sadness, a lot of sadness, a lot of sadness in that shelter. We were about 10 people first time. And I also felt sad because it just seemed so sad that after all humanity has been through, this is the best we can do. Just drop bombs on each other. So, sadness. But then I remembered law of karma. I'm in this situation, a country that has bombs being dropped on it, a country that's sending bombs, because there's some aspect that I need to be practicing more. So I got busy identifying what it was. And I identified peace. I am a peaceful soul. This is a truth. Can I not be peaceful right now? I am a contented soul. I'm a future member of the age of peace and happiness. Can I not vibrate something, generate a different energy than the energy everybody else has, sadness? So I immediately began to use the crises as my opportunity to practice, grow stronger. Because what I'd like to suggest is that this very important power to understand and use truth. Because this is what pays my karmic accounts, right? If I'm in a crisis situation, it's to my benefit, karma. And it's only responses to settle my, it's wealth of character that settles the karma. These things you know. the basics. But do you that in this video, this policeman, or rather I should say, the cards, might they be our karmic debts? Because what's another word for karmic debts? My weaknesses. I continue to act with disrespect, impatience, stubbornness. Today Baba talked about ego getting trapped by the vice of ego and then all the other vices. So could it be that all those cars are my weaknesses? By the way, another word for my weaknesses? Maya. Baba's told us that this is all that Maya is. She is my weaknesses. So how great if a whole traffic, we can imagine, row after row of cars, being stopped. Stopped means settled, fulfilled, finished. By what? I would like to suggest that that policeman is my good karma. This is my greatest protection. Good karma. When I understand this truth, I have new motivation in studying what is this truth and applying it. Because when I respond instead of react, my debts are being paid. Which is another way of saying I become stronger and stronger in my truth. So the true power is the truth. All is good, starting with drama. But then we know I am also very, very good. Right? That's the truth. And maybe I think, according to the way these eyes see me, again in this morning's Merle, not God's eyes, but when I see myself through my eyes, I might feel I don't have the courage. I don't have the strength. But if I see myself truthfully, as Baba's telling me I am, then he's telling me, as is he, so am I. That's the inheritance. The inheritance is, the other day Sudesh Didi said it, it's so beautiful. What is our inheritance? It is God's sanskars. So beautiful. All the qualities that he has, I have too. That's the inheritance. So again, good. Everything is good, including myself. I just need the awareness of this. If you've heard some of my other classes, I've been sharing this point again and again because it's so powerful. Old class by Sudesh Didi, she was saying all you need to do is have this awareness, or actually no, this was Baba saying this the other day. You just need the awareness that those qualities are inside, maybe buried underneath all the acquired energies. But they're there. And just that awareness emerges them. So I was asking Sudesh Didi recently, how exactly does that work? How exactly can I emerge these powerful, beautiful truths in me? And she gave a beautiful answer. She was saying, if you have a chickpea, and you want the real flavor to emerge, you need to change the environment. In other words, we have to put it in a hot pan, roast it. And that emerges, it frees the powerful flavor of the chickpea and also the aroma of the chickpea. Same for a flower. If you want what's in that seed to emerge, you have to change the environment. You have to put it under the sun, in our case, sun of knowledge, and you have to give it water, water of God's love. So, I'm good. And to reach for that goodness. Drama is good, I am good, Baba is good. Baba is so good, isn't he? And so, as somebody was suggesting, to really, really cultivate that relationship with Baba, that partnership. He's come in order to give me all these truths again, activate them. Most beautiful definition I've heard of remembrance, and this is what came from an older class by Sudesh Didi. You might have heard me already share it. But remembrance, it means to awaken the experience of what truly belongs to me. Remembrance. To awaken the experience of what truly belongs to me. What truly belongs to me? It's only these virtues, these qualities, these powers. So in this video, the cars are my weaknesses, my past karmic accounts. The policeman is my good karma. And I'm motivated more and more to go for good karma. Newness, response versus reaction, because that pays my karmic debts. And so who are these ducks? What are these ducks in the video? Couldn't it be me? Or the gathering? Because what did we see? I mean, I couldn't see the video, so I don't know how clear it was for all of you. But was it just one duck crossing? No, it was a whole family, with the children in front. No, the little ones weren't in front. Who was in front? Mother. And all the little guys were following mother, like nice little ducklings. So why wouldn't that be us in the video? Why wouldn't those little ducklings be me? Those little ducklings were not looking at the cars. They were not looking at the policeman. Their eye was direct on mother. In our case, mother, father. Facing one direction, Baba calls it. Amazing. With all that we know and how we've proven that this is the truth. How much we've understood that the truth works and it's my protection. It is still so challenging to keep the intellect facing in the one direction. Right? So here I'd also like to just suggest that one of the main reasons it's probably so difficult to keep keep that intellect faced in the right direction might be because we are looking at the past. We are looking at our weaknesses. We are looking at Maya. We're fighting Maya. And now, as we get so close to the end, that's not called working smart. Maybe it's called working. But Baba is saying he doesn't even want his children to be laboring anymore. He says, my children and you're laboring. We need to work with the truth. Move those qualities. Take opportunities to practice and strengthen the beauty. Those past sanskaras, those past habits, programmings and conditionings, they're actions we performed carrying a much lower energy. Those pull us out of the one direction, which is a very high frequency energy. But even worse than that, something even more powerfully stopping us from facing the one direction, which is upwards, is my thoughts about what I've done. So, for example, if I took that extra piece of chocolate cake and it did make me sick, what I'm saying is that that's one of the cars there. It'll attract me. It'll pull me because it's a low frequency energy and I'm used to living my life in a low frequency energy. So that'll stop me from looking up. The fact that I've made this mistake, greed, more sugar, I'm using a very simple example. But thinking again and again about that mistake is even worse. Because eating that extra piece of chocolate cake happened in the past. It's old, stale energy. Whereas thinking about it again and again is fresh, man-made current energy, very low level. And that also accumulates and does not allow me, ultimately, to face the upward direction. So much attention. Not just on my action, but then following my thoughts. Strict attention on keeping my thoughts true. Forgiving, stable, kind, respectful towards my own self. Like Baba was saying in today's memorial, these Diwali celebrations, this year we do very, very little, but look, strings of light all around Baba's room. My memorial. I am that lit light strung together with a whole community of lights to do the job of lighting up the dark night of humanity. You know, Baba gave such a statement many years ago. I use it again and again in my life and in my classes. Literally, Baba said, this awareness that all is good, everything is good. Drama's good, family's good, I'm good, Baba's good. This awareness, especially if I use it in my life, will cut your karmic accounts like a scissors. This comes from a Murali. Awareness. Thoughts. What's my framework of reality? That's my protection. So we have to keep thinking of new ways of keeping ourselves positive, elevated, which of course is a matter of exploring Him more, getting to know Him more, which enables me to get to know myself more, and keeping myself happy and intoxicated on the basis of these very intimate truths. Who He is, who I belong to, who I am, these are very intimate and thus very powerful truths. So that's what I wanted to share. Did anybody want to say anything or ask anything? Maybe Vijay Bhai would like to join me.
Om Shanti. So, drama is good. I am good. Baba is good. We are all good. So, may I invite you to reflect on that silence for a minute or two. Let's see if we can hold that sense. Om Shanti. So, thank you so much, Sister Sharona. We are happy to see you here with us safely. And may I inquire about the rest of the family, the BK family in Israel? How are they doing under the current situation?
Everyone is doing very well, enjoying the opportunity to practice.
How do they respond to the situation, to the war, to drop the bombs and so? Is it changing their lives? Are they changing the way they live, their everyday lifestyle?
No. I think one of the most important, or maybe two or three most important qualities that go along with everything I've been saying is honesty and forgiveness and determination. So honesty in the sense that you catch what you're really feeling or what you've just been saying or doing. And I know that when the war began in October, a lot of the Israeli family was shocked because it was a big surprise. And of course, this would be the same, I'm sure, for wars going on everywhere. So many countries in the Middle East also are having bombs dropped on them. And Ukraine, for example, Bangladesh, other kinds of horrors. So honesty, what am I feeling? And there was a sense of shock. There was a sense of human reaction. So you're honest about that. And then secondly, you forgive yourself. In other words, those little ducks weren't looking at all the cars. They had their focus in one direction, which for us means up. So on the basis of the true journey we're on, 2,500 years of being human, so I forgive the human reaction and I focus on the real work, which is to move over into how does Brahma Baba see all of this? How does Shiv Baba, what consciousness does Shiv Baba bring to all this and to adopt that? And then that determination, as I was, so I will be again. That's how the family's working with it.
So trying to keep your eyes on Baba, straightforward. And also, do you need to follow the news to know what is happening?
That would be to not necessarily just look at the cars, but that would be the little ducklings looking up, looking around, looking everywhere, just getting completely distracted from Mother. And the journey, because everything is there, and as we head closer to the end of the cycle, every aspect of Maya will be emerging to distract us from Mother, Father. And we must not be distracted. So just as you say, these are opportunities to practice keeping my eye on Baba. No newspapers, from time to time I look a little bit at a headline here or there just to test myself. Make sure I'm not just like denying reality or ignoring it, but it's all the stuff of very, very low energy, and we have a part to play.
You said that when you went to the shelter, that you felt sadness. Mm. Is there practice, or do you picture a time when we cannot feel sadness? In the sense that, from what you are saying, once we feel sadness or we feel some negative quality, then we can figure out what should be practiced. But could we reach a stage where you don't even have the negative feeling?
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. Angel. The angel. I can't imagine what would happen if an angel had even one wavelength of sadness in her. She would drop. She would fall from that elevated stage which is needed to play her part.
And do you have a practice, you think, that works in that direction?
What?
Yourself.
What kind of practice?
Yeah, do you feel you have a practice that taking you to that angelic stage, that stage where you are not affected at all?
Yeah, well, you know, one time I asked a very deep churning kind of brother who talked a lot. He was addressing a group of us, and he talked a lot about detachment, and it just sounded so great. And he seemed like such a beautiful example of it, because he wasn't cold or hard. He was very loving, but he was clearly someone who really worked with the power of detachment. So I asked him, do you have a practice for detachment? And he said, I don't think you can work on detachment. Detachment, he was saying, would be a result of all the other efforts you're making. And this is so. What do we want to be detached from, ultimately? These crises, external and all the internal environments of crises inside me. I want to be detached from that. These are falsehoods. What's going on now is the rule of Maya, external and internal. I want to be detached from falsehood. How am I going to do that? How much time can I spend in the world of falsehood, the world of low energy, if I want to stay above? That's the practice. I love truth. I have a part to play in generating a whole new kind of energy. So let me keep my focus and do whatever I can do to keep myself beyond, above, in the truth.
Sorry. Before the war, can you remember things in your BK life that prepared you for a situation like that?
Everything. And this is not the aim of my life, to be prepared for a crisis. All these crises are preparation for our real aim, which is to become completely true. Dadi's definition of a deity, true human being. So even the crises are for me to practice being a true human being. And before that, the angel. You know, I think it was, yesterday, Smirli, Baba was saying, this is real. This is real. I really am God, perfect. And you really are my children. I really am your teacher. This is real. So everything going on, internal crises, karmic accounts, external crises, karmic accounts, it's all in order to help me practice truth, which is always very peaceful, nonviolent, calm, resourceful, loving, and content.
You have spent a lot of time with dadis, devis. Can you remember something of an example from them of crisis they faced? Have you witnessed any of those?
There are so many stories of the dadis facing crises with that understanding of the opportunity to make truth stronger. So many stories, and I think any that I know, other people would also know. But I can share a very, very small, two very, very small personal stories, which are not huge crises at all, but they demonstrate the same dynamic. One is that Dadi Jenki came to one of the first centers, which was opened in Boston, because I took Jan in France and I was sent to Boston to open a center there. And she came within the first 6 months, and first year or so. And it was a very tiny little apartment, old-fashioned apartment. And we made Baba's room into Dadi's room, and the bathroom was right next to it. It wasn't like it was in her bedroom. And because it was an old-fashioned apartment, the light switch was not like outside, and it wasn't on the wall inside. It was an old-fashioned lamp on the wall. And because, again, of the design of the lamp, old-fashioned, it wasn't an obvious switch. It wasn't like a string to pull or a button. It was actually a very decorative part of the lamp. You had to turn the bottom of the lamp. So Dadi, before I found her and understood her crises, she couldn't find the light. She'd looked outside, she'd looked inside, she'd handled the lamp. She couldn't find it. When I reached her, she was still feeling around the walls with such a smile on her face. So I said, "Dadi, the light, it's..." And I was about to tell her, and she said, no, don't tell me. I want to find it." She wouldn't let me tell her. And she found it. She found it. And that look on her face when she was victorious over the dark, because a lot of this was happening at night. So small crises, but same like determination. I will rule this situation, and no one's going to come in and help me rule it. So that's number one. But number two, a little bit more of a crisis as far as we can relate it, is she wasn't well. This is another visit she came for. And she was tired. And she just came in from New York. And she was lying on the bed. And she was laughing and saying, you know, kind of like rubbing her forehead like this, and I think Sister Mohini was saying, "She's a little tired." And I was saying, "Dadi, it's not a big program. It's just down the road in a big hall, and it's just Brahmins. It's just Brahmins, Dadi. You don't have to, you know, it's just Brahmins." Dadi looked at me with a lot of love and laughter. She said, "They're the worst." "They're the hardest." But she didn't cancel, obviously. She went.
It must have been a joke that she thought we were a crisis. Well, Seeing the time, I think we will bring it to an end here. I would like to thank Sister Sharona. We give her a wave of one hand for sharing with us, for being here, for starting off this Group 2 Double Foreigners program. And so our next engagement is this evening, 6 p.m. in the Meditation Hall downstairs. So this is a special bhakti, specially taught of by Sudesh Didi, and especially to have, she wants to meet all the double foreigners, every one of us individually. So she will invite us all on stage one at a time, and once you have finished the stage, then you go back and sit in the hall to continue with the bhakti. So that is this evening at 6 p.m.
You know, there's one thing that we didn't do, which might be useful to do, you can tell me, but I think it might be good to see that little video again, just before we finish. Would you like to? Can we see it 3 times in a row? Now that we have spiritual eyes, we've put on our spiritual glasses, and we can see it to remind ourselves of some very important spiritual truths. Yeah? How proud those little ducklings are. Absolutely confident that they will cross. They will reach. Because they were together and they had their eye on Mother, Father. Om Shanti. Yeah.